Our gospel lesson is from John chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We'll go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to them, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. God, you may be seated. When I first heard this story, I was like, "That can't be true." So I looked it up, and it's a true story. Larry was a truck driver, but didn't want to be a truck driver. His lifelong dream was to fly. He wanted to be a pilot. And so he, after graduating from high school, he joined the Air Force in hopes of becoming a pilot. Well, unfortunately, his eyesight was poor, and so his poor eyesight disqualified him from being a pilot. After he got out of the service, all he could do was just sit in his backyard and watch other people fly the jets that would crisscross across his backyard way up in the sky. And he could just dream about the magic of it all. Well, one day he had this great idea. He went down to the local Army-Navy surplus store, and he bought a large tank of helium. And 45 big weather balloons, not just the, you know, small color party balloon. When completely inflated, these balloons were 4 feet in diameter. So he takes it all home. He tethers his lawn chair to his Jeep. And he inflates these balloons and, using straps, attaches them to his lawn chair. He makes a few sandwiches. He gets a small cooler with some drinks and his BB gun. Now, his plan was that he was going to gently drift into the sky 100 feet, 200 feet, and fly around for a while, and then use the BB gun to pop one balloon at a time and gently float back to Earth. It's going to be fun. So all of his preparations, he checked, he double-checked, he's ready to go, and he cuts the cord. And it didn't go as planned. Instead of floating lazily, he shot up like a cannon. And instead of 100 to 200 feet above the ground, which is pretty high, I might say, he kept going and kept going. And he finally leveled out at about 16,000 feet. And so he's freaking out a little bit. And he doesn't really know how he's going to get down, because the very thought of popping any of those balloons at this point, would it topsy-turvy it over? And so he just floated. And he just floated for hours. He finally floats into the approach corridor for the Los Angeles International Airport. Two different pilots radioed it in. The Pan Am pilot connected with the tower and said, "Hey, there's a guy up here in a lawn chair, and we're at 16,000 feet, and he's got a gun." Isn't that great? It's a true story. So, you know, the Los Angeles airport is near the ocean, and what happens in the evening, the winds shift, and he's moving out to sea. The Navy dispatches a helicopter to rescue him. The problem is when they get close, they would just keep blowing him out to sea. They finally figured out they just needed to hover above him, and they dropped a rescue line, and they were able to slowly get him back to the earth. As soon as Larry hit the ground, he was arrested. And as he was being led away in handcuffs, a television reporter calls after him, "Mr. Walters, why'd you do it?" Larry stopped, looked at him, and just replied nonchalantly, "A man can't just sit around." Peter said, "I'm going fishing." It's after Easter. I want you to imagine that group. Peter and this group of disciples there in Galilee. Well, that must have been like for them. It's after Easter. And there they are. Now, Easter is big for us. We anticipate it. I don't doubt that before too long, in our planning meetings, we'll say something about next year's Easter. It's a big marker on our calendar. Leading up to it, leading up to Holy Week, there's a lot of energy. And then the big day. I mean, that was a big day. Although I will say to you, you're holding your own. I mean, we have folks in the balcony today. I'm not going to say about the other service, but y'all are knocking it out. 2 weeks after Easter. But Easter's a big day. Not just for worship and the things that we do. Imagine the worship experience that we had. We put extra things in there. Extra energy, because it's big. But even your traditions are big. It's a big day. The ham is a little bit bigger on the dinner table. The clothes that we wear sometimes, it's a little bigger. It's a little brighter. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for them, too, just in a different way. When you think about it, I mean, leading up to it, Palm Sunday is the triumphal entry. That had to be a bit breathtaking for them. The things that they had heard from Jesus and had come to believe. Now all of a sudden the crowd, I don't know if they were strangers. These people who were finding anything they could to shout Hosanna, to put on the ground before Jesus coming on a donkey, which was a sign of a king coming in peace. They're like, whoa, this is happening. You know, they had to get caught up into that. And then the week that unfolds. And then Thursday happens. And they find themselves running, and maybe they can't believe they're running and deserting. the emotions that go along with that behavior on their part. And then, you know, we've seen enough movies, maybe we've read enough things that we have a sense of how brutal and gruesome a crucifixion really is. But they saw it. They really knew it. And then the empty tomb, the confusion of that, and then Jesus appears. I mean, that's a roller coaster when you think about it. And there they are in Galilee. Now, a lot of times we throw a bit of shade and criticism. Oh, Peter's not being faithful. He just, you know, Jesus said to do this. Now he's going back to his old way of life. I'm not so sure. Maybe that's it. But think about the week that they've had. I mean, what did we do after Easter? Some of us went fishing. We went on spring break. It's not necessarily a bad thing when life has been like that. But I think maybe they weren't as concerned about how many fish they caught as about answering the question, okay, now what? Peter's like, I can't just sit around. I'm going fishing. Now, Jesus had told them, with this question, now what do we do? That's our question. Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so I send you. In other words, what I was doing, you keep doing. What exactly was that? Well, it was big. I mean, Easter was big. And I don't know that we fully understand it. Get a room full of theologians who have maybe studied it their entire lives, and they'll have some scholarly things to say, but I don't know that we ever fully really understand this cosmic big that happened. Jesus saved the world. Even before Easter, it was big. When we reflect on what was Jesus doing that we need to do, we think of Lazarus, we think of Jairus' daughter. Like Jesus raised people from the dead. There's a leper who has all kinds of trouble. His physical infirmity creates such social trouble, emotional trouble. With just the speaking of a word, this leper's life is transformed. There's healing. There's a blind person who can't see, and Jesus spits in the mud and makes a salve and go wash in the pool, and now this person can see again. There's lots of different ways Jesus healed blind people. It was big. He did big stuff. So I wonder exactly what Jesus was thinking when he said, the stuff that I was doing, you keep doing. You know, there's that place where Jesus says, and I decided I wasn't going to just say it. I wanted you to believe me. I know you trust me. But to read it in John chapter 14, there Jesus has told them, this is the context. They're walking from the upper room where they had broken bread together to celebrate the Passover. They're on their way. They end up in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Jesus is teaching them along the way. And it's in chapter 14 where Jesus says, all right, he tells them exactly what's going to happen. He's completely honest with them about his arrest, about their desertion, about the crucifixion. He even tells them about the resurrection. But he says to them, I'm leaving you, and they're troubled. And so Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You maybe remember this story. It's in that context where Jesus says in verse 12, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these because I'm going to the Father. Because I'm leaving, you're going to do greater works than me, bigger things than me. I think there's different ways to translate greater. Greater as in bigger, or greater as in more. How is that possible? Mother Teresa said, not all of us can do great things. But we can do small things with great love. I went to a conference a long time ago in Cincinnati. It was the church that was hosting this conference had been doing lots of unique things. And it was the Cincinnati Vineyard Church. And what they had done was that they had taken kindness and programmed it into their culture. Their mission statement was pretty simple. We're going to love Cincinnati into a relationship with Jesus. And they did random acts of kindness. I think that's what they called it. But they programmed it. It became a part of life in that church. Not only did they do things, but they encouraged people. Just find some way to be kind. Be creative with that. And so at this conference, we're learning lots of different things. One of the things that we got to do was actually experience some of their ministries. So they would do things like, we get to sign up. We'd sign up for which one we want to do. So they have like a big tank on their back. Kind of like, you know, imagine, oh, this is just a dispenser tank, like a spray tank or whatever. They'd made it so that you could fill it with coffee or hot chocolate and go to the Friday night football game and just give out free coffee or hot chocolate, or stand in the middle, the hottest day in July at a busy intersection, and you've got a cooler full of ice cold soft drinks, just handing them out. Now there's a little card that says, just wanted to show you God's love. Got no strings attached. We just want to love you. That was their idea. Do kind things. One group goes to the mall with these little cards. Some of you might know if you're from Cincinnati. I can't remember the name of the ice cream place, but it was a famous, everybody in Cincinnati knows this ice cream place. It was this famous ice cream. And so they just bought a bunch of cards for a free ice cream. Same thing. Just meet people. Hey, have an ice cream. I went to the mall, but what I signed up was not to give the cards, but to clean toilets. Did you know that in every store in the mall, there's a restroom at the back? It's not for the public unless the owner, you know, if you have an emergency, maybe you've been in one of those, but it's for the employees. And so I was trained to do this. I walk into the mall, leave the van with my little caddy, and I've got my Ajax and my toilet brush and some spray stuff and some wipes and some gloves. And I go to the owner of the little store inside the mall and say, could I clean your toilet? Could I clean your bathroom? Now, you can imagine the looks that I would get. This is this strange person. But the conclusion that they make, you probably would have made it. It's like, no. We get our cleaning supplies from some other place. I really don't have time for you to demonstrate how well your cleaning supplies work. That was almost 100% of the reaction. Like, no. I don't work for anybody. I just want to go clean your toilet. And you are now really strange to this person, but every single time they let me go clean the toilet, I was instructed to clean that little bathroom like that little bathroom has never been cleaned before, so that when they walked into it, they would know there was a difference in their bathroom. And then leave the little card. Just want to show God's love, no strings attached. Loving Cincinnati into a relationship with Jesus. So, during the season of Lent, I know many of us will give up something for Lent, will add on something for Lent. I started making my list this year, and it just kept growing. Well, I really want to do that, or I think I'll stop doing that. And then I landed on 12, so I just called it the Dirty Dozen, or 12 things. And some of them were low-hanging fruit, like pray, stuff I was doing anyway, so that made it, that was actually doable. One of the things on my list, inspired by Rob's sermon on kindness during the Mr. Rogers sermon series, was I'm going to do kindness every day during the season of Lent. That was one of my things. I would at the end of each day, I would get out my little notebook, and I had little boxes I was very particular about, and I could check that box if I did it or not and keep track. So I'd get to the end of the day, I was like, oh yeah, because I'm looking for kindness. This is intentional when I remembered to look. And I could do some kind thing, and I would write that down on a different page, and I would check the box on that page. And so if I get to the end of the day and I realize I hadn't done anything kind, I would realize, oh, I received kindness. So I went to the top of the page, and under do kindness, I put receive kindness. And then if I get to the end of the day and I hadn't done anything kind, and I hadn't received kindness that I could remember, I noticed kindness. And so I put that, notice kindness. It was just a kindness thing. The day after Pancake Day, I fly to the Dominican Republic in hopes that Chan will make it over from Haiti. And so I'm on the airplane, and I'm by the window seat. So there's two people sitting next to me, and I see this woman coming, and she's got a baby, and she has five bags that she's trying to carry. And first of all, I'm like, you're not allowed to have five bags. When you're way out in the gate, they'll come on the microphone and say, if you have, after they've turned a few people away and say, you got to make those three, four bags, two bags. She looks so pitiful, though. I'm sure they were just like, just go on, honey. I could, your instinct is to help. Like, there's my act of kindness, but I couldn't get out. We land, and those two folks get off, and she's right behind me, and I'm able to help. And I'm like, could I help you? Could I take one of your bags? She gives me this big, heavy bag. I don't know how she did it. And so I go ahead and go, and I'm out there waiting for her to come. And she comes, and I give her a bag, and right behind her are four other people giving her her things. And it filled me with such hope. 2 days later, I'm doing a 4 mile run, still waiting for Chan to get to the DR from Haiti. And I see the room where we're staying. I'm almost done. And the next thing I'm flying through the air. The sidewalk was broken. I stepped in a hole. And I realized as I was crashing into the sidewalk that my ankle was just exploding in pain. I'm still dazed. And these two men who speak no English come running over, trying to help me up. And I'm like, you know how self-reliant people are. No, I'm fine. It's all good. I'm fine. I had no idea how I was. I convinced them that I was good, and they walked back to whatever they were doing before. And I could barely stand on it for 2 days, and I painfully hobbled back to the room. But that's what I wrote down at the end of the day. Poverty is a big problem. Feels too big. We don't know what to do about it. I saw a video some years ago, and it was about being able to read. If you're not able to read by the time you're in third grade, so it was on literacy, that was the video, this is what happens. And the video had some cartoon characters, and it was a nice little video. And if you, these are statistics, this is the research. If you can read by the third grade, this is the trajectory. This is where people end up. If you can't read after third grade, this is what happens. And the difference was mind-blowing. The number of people that live in poverty, there were statistics that went along with that. The number of people that end up in prison, it was staggering. It was Congregations for Children who showed me this video. And, Jesus taught people. When we say, what is it that Jesus did? He taught people all the time. And so this church, because of Congregations for Children, some of you I know are going to the elementary schools in the morning, maybe at lunchtime in the afternoons. And I know that you're reading to kids because you know this. Some of you I know are going to the Pigeon Center to their after-school program, and you're doing the same thing. You're reading to these kids. Jesus taught people, and you keep doing it. It's a little thing. Hunger is a big problem. The hunger that's caused by war now, I'm almost afraid to check the news every morning, but I do. The missiles that fly, the aid that gets thwarted, the people that are starving. And that's not a new thing. And we know statistics, and I've even shared some myself recently. Jesus fed people. That's what he did. The other day, maybe last week, I look out the window of my office. My office is on the third floor now, and there's a construction crew pulling up. And this church that on Pancake Day fed thousands of people for free, not just pancakes, but bacon. It's a big deal. Poured a concrete slab. It's in the back. You can see it. You know why we have a big concrete slab? Because we have a big walk-in freezer coming. You know why we're having a big walk-in freezer? Because there's no more freezer space or refrigerator space in our church to handle the people that we're feeding. Racism is a big problem. I spent all day Thursday and all day Friday not quite kicking and screaming because I knew it would be a good thing. It was just more, I don't have time for this. In an anti-racism training in Hickory. Racism is a huge problem. And I knew a lot of this stuff. There was a lot of new stuff. And it was a very sobering day. A lot of the things reminded me of what happened to my heart and soul in 2020 after George Floyd was murdered, and I began to learn this stuff about our history. That's not just, it's not, it's 500 years of history. Well, you know what this church does? This church, with our Reconciling Ministries group, partnering with NAACP in the fall of 2020, not waiting too long, I don't know, 50, 60 people? On Zoom, it had to be on Zoom, reading books together, having conversations together. Someone had the insight or the vision to invite members of the African American community in Haywood County to do a short video of themselves saying, "This is what it's like to be African American in Haywood County." What I really loved about the event, this I think 12 weeks was the very last week, was okay, we didn't do this just to educate ourselves. Now what? Now, what question? And so the leadership team at First United Methodist Church said, "Hey, let's form a task force." Because one of the things that we do good, or some of the things that we do good around here, is we have a good endowment and we're great with scholarships. And in this idea of helping make right something that for centuries has been made wrong for neighbors in our community. Well, I think it was Jack Ewing. Few weeks into the process, he says, "Wait a minute, you do realize there's five white people sitting around a table determining what the needs of the African American community are." So we stopped immediately until we had a listening session. So all of us were in a room full of our African American brothers and sisters, and we just listened. We told them what we were up to. This is our big idea. And they began telling their stories. One of the stories was, and she's a friend of mine, I had an apartment or house. It was housing. I had a place. It was all negotiated over the phone. I show up to get the keys to move in. She said on the phone, "It's all ready. The house is all ready. You can come move in. Come get the keys." She's greeted at the door. "Oh, it's not quite ready. I'll get back with you." A phone call that never happened. The house was rented to someone else. And this is recent. So now there's this committee. We thought reparations committee. The African American community thought that's a bad idea. It's the Black Generational Wealth Committee. The idea being maybe we grow an endowment that enables scholarship, that enables micro grants for small businesses, that enables us to, who knows what? We don't know what we're doing. We've had a resource fair and there's another one coming because some of the stuff that we heard was we don't really know much about credit. We don't know how to get a loan. We can't get a loan. We don't know about buying a house. What do you do when you need to buy a house? How do you go about that process? So some of you have been in the room sharing your expertise and your wisdom. Those of you who are with banks and who are with real estate companies and so on. What about wills and is it going to work? I don't know. It's awfully big. They're not catching any fish. And Jesus shows up. And when they get there, finally, in their frantic ways and their measured ways, They're all on the beach and they see that Jesus has a charcoal fire, which would remind Peter of the charcoal fire that he stood by on three occasions just some days before. But Jesus has fish and bread, which would remind them, and maybe John puts it here to remind all of us, of another story. It's in John chapter 6. Jesus is at the Sea of Galilee, and the crowd is gathering. It's a famous story. And he says to them, so where are we going to buy enough bread? Jesus says, where are we going to buy enough bread to feed all these people? There's 5,000 people. And they're like, Lord, 6 months' wages wouldn't buy enough bread for all of these people to have even a morsel. They're too big. Peter's brother Andrew comes. Here's a little boy. I found this little boy. He has 5 loaves and 2 fish. But what does he say? But what are they among so many people? Their hunger is too big. But Jesus takes it. And everyone sits in the grass. You know what Jesus says? After everybody is satisfied, that's what it's saying. Everybody was satisfied. He said, get the fragments. Get the little pieces. Because they matter. It's after Easter. It's after breakfast by the sea. Jesus says, tend my sheep. Feed my lambs. Small things done with great love will change the world. Amen.